Hi there. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Today we're talking about how to overcome autoimmune thyroid disease with my guest, Dr. Isabella Wentz. Dr. Wentz is an internationally acclaimed thyroid specialist and licensed pharmacist who has dedicated her career to addressing the root cause of autoimmune thyroid disease after being diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis in 2009. Dr. Wentz is the author of the New York Times best-selling patient guide, Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, Lifestyle Interventions for Finding and Treating the Root Cause, and the protocol-based book, Hashimoto's Protocol, a 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back. This is her new book that's just coming out. As a patient advocate, researcher, clinician, and educator, Dr. Wentz is committed to raising awareness on how to overcome autoimmune thyroid disease through the Thyroid Secret documentary series, the Hashimoto's Institute practitioner training, and her international consulting and speaking services offered to both patients and healthcare professionals. Today, we cover the symptoms, triggers, testing, root causes, and integrative treatment options for autoimmune thyroid disease. Dr. Wentz is a wealth of knowledge. Her last podcast was my most viewed, my top podcast, and this interview is sure to be another hit. So please enjoy this interview with Dr. Isabella Wentz. Isabella, it's so great to have you back on my show.
Thank you so much for having me, Trevor. I'm so excited to be here.
So I know that you've been on my show before, but it's been a while. And so for people who aren't familiar with who you are, did not see your other podcast, let's start off with your background and what led you to be so passionate about treating Hashimoto's.
So in full disclosure, I was never really interested in the thyroid gland myself with Hashimoto's in 2009, after almost a decade of some pretty debilitating symptoms. So I started off with fatigue during my first year in undergrad, and this meant that I was missing exams, I was like missing class, not showing up anywhere like to parties or social events, you know, because I had to sleep 12 to 14 hours each night. And then that progressed into irritable bowel syndrome when I got into pharmacy school, and it year after year my life just kind of kept getting smaller and smaller, where I was then diagnosed with panic attacks and anxiety. I was diagnosed with acid reflux. I had, the irritable bowel syndrome, and all these things were just confounding on top of one another with allergies, chemical sensitivities, carpal tunnel in both arms, hair loss. And it was like year after year, I was just like getting, I guess, sicker. And I was going to different doctors and I was asking the right questions and I was not getting the answers I was looking for. I was told that it was either in my head, that maybe I was depressed. And then the best answer was that I was getting older and I was 25 at the time. And, you know, of course it's ridiculous now, but I really thought like, okay, well maybe I'm gaining weight because I'm getting older. Or maybe just this is what happens when you get tired. And, you know, as a result of like kind of getting the runaround from 2000 to 2009, almost a decade, I was like, you know, waking up, going to class or work, coming home, eating something and passing out on my couch. And this was pretty much my life. That's all I really had energy for, other than, you know, like I cleaned my house on the weekends, but that was about it. And, you know, like when I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, I finally felt like validated and I felt like I wanted to do something about the condition. I wanted to see if I could reverse it or really get myself better. And that's how I became a Hashimoto's expert / human guinea pig. And I'm so passionate about getting the message out that recovering your health is possible. I've been in, recovered my health, been in remission for about 4 years now. And I've been able to do so much. I've been able to follow my dreams that seem like distant fantasies. And I want the same thing for other people who are struggling with their health. And maybe they're, you know, they're challenged with their weight or with their mood or brain fog or fatigue levels that are preventing them from living the life that they want to live.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally see your passion and compassion for other people with Hashimoto's, and you've been really helping so many people with your last book and the one that's coming out that we'll talk more about. And I know that you're just so dedicated to this. I appreciate the work that you're doing to help people. For people who aren't familiar with Hashimoto's, can you just explain a little bit about it? And because I think a lot of people probably don't realize how common it really is.
When I first got diagnosed, my husband Michael, I came home and I said, "Hey, I have Hashimoto's." And he said, "Oh, that sounds like a Japanese sword fighter, right?" And then I'll talk to other people that I let them know that I work with people with Hashimoto's, and that's pretty much what I do. And I write books on Hashimoto's, and I have a blog. People are like, "That's so great that somebody's interested in such a really rare condition that just never happens." And I'm like, "Actually, it's not rare." So 27% of our population actually has Hashimoto's within the United States. If you were to do the right tests for it, if you were to find it in the early stages where you still have symptoms, but the conventional medical tests miss it, 27%. Out of the people that take thyroid hormones, most of them are told that they have sluggish thyroids, or that their thyroids are lazy or underactive or, hypothyroid. But in majority of the cases, 97% of the time, they actually have Hashimoto's. And they're just not told that they have Hashimoto's because their doctors are not aware that you can prevent the progression of the condition and that you can even reverse it when you do the right kind of things.
Yeah, I remember when I was in naturopathic medical school and we would talk about thyroid disease, and the professors at naturopathic medical school would say, okay, well, you need to do a full comprehensive profile for people who you suspect have thyroid condition, including thyroid antibodies. And they said, other doctors are going to tell you that it's not necessary. And we're like, what, raising your hand, like, but why wouldn't they want to do all these other tests too? And they said, well, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do. If you have an autoimmune thyroid condition, they don't really have a lot of solutions. So they just don't add it in to the thyroid panels. And I know I graduated 17 years ago, but I don't think much has changed since then. Maybe a little bit more awareness about it. But I was so surprised that the doctors wouldn't include all of these tests from the get-go, including things like not just TSH, but also free T3, free T4, thyroid antibodies. So, I mean, that probably doesn't surprise you to hear that.
It doesn't surprise me, and it's very unfortunate because people will be told that they're crazy, lazy, that they're just getting fat, that they have forked mouth disease, that they'll never have children. And they're told all of these things when in fact it's because they have Hashimoto's and they have these raging antibodies that are marking their thyroid gland as a foreign invader, and then the immune system is attacking their thyroid glands. And so in the case of people with Hashimoto's, there are five stages to it. And in the second stage is when we start seeing that the immune system begins to recognize the thyroid gland as a foreign invader. And this is the stage where we'll see thyroid antibodies, but not always. Some people never have thyroid antibodies and they still have Hashimoto's. And we'll see all of these symptoms. So the symptoms that have been correlated are going to be obsessive compulsive symptoms, anxiety, health-seeking behaviors, or like things that would get them qualified as hypochondriacs. People just generally feel unwell, and they like know something is going on within them that's not right. They go to their doctors, they get tested with the TSH test, and they're told that nothing's wrong. This is because the TSH doesn't get elevated until stage four, and so between stage two and four, on average, it can take 10 years. And by the time somebody reaches stage four, a significant part of their thyroid gland has been destroyed by the immune system. And at that point, they're going to need thyroid hormone replacement. In stage two, maybe even stage three, it's much easier to prevent the damage and potentially reverse it than it is once you get to stage four. What's even more scary is stage five is when we start seeing progression into other types of autoimmune conditions. So I'll see people who get diagnosed with a thyroid condition. They'll be a good girl. They'll take their thyroid meds. They'll do everything the doctor says. They'll eat less, exercise more. They'll get on antidepressants because, because your mood is not related to your thyroid or according to the conventional paradigm. But then at lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or another type of autoimmune condition.
Yeah, and in my practice, I see psoriasis is one of the big things I see when it comes to skin, because that's an autoimmune skin condition. So I see that combination a lot of times too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've seen people with acne, eczema, psoriasis. And when we get their Hashimoto's under control, you start seeing these conditions resolve as well. And it's because a lot of the autoimmune conditions, as you know, are rooted in the same types of root causes. So what helps one autoimmune condition will help another one. And what causes one autoimmune condition may cause a whole host of them too.
Right. And it seems that in hypothyroidism, when thyroid function starts becoming low, one of the first signs is dry skin. You know, I always talk to people about how skin is our magic mirror. It gives us great clues about our overall health. So if someone has chronically dry skin and some of the other symptoms that you mentioned, especially the fatigue, that can be a sign that there's something going on, an early sign that something's going on with the thyroid. So I like to point that out to people. Any other early signs that you would say are particularly important to look out for?
You know, definitely looking at your, you know, like your outer markers of health. So like you said, the skin is a really, really important thing to look at. So if you're breaking out more, that could be a potential sign that your thyroid is underactive or underperforming. If you have, you know, like you said, eczema, psoriasis, that's going to be an autoimmune component. Dry skin and like kind of like dull grayish skin, pale skin, these are all signs that you might have a thyroid condition. If you have hair that's straight like ours is, and all of a sudden it's become more difficult to brush, that's actually one of the early signs of a person with Hashimoto's and autoimmune thyroid disease, that there's some alteration of, you know, thyroid hormone function. There's an inflammatory component happening within the body, and the body is shunting resources away from those things that are like really nice to have, like pretty skin and pretty hair, and moving it towards like the vital processes of you know, just moving about our days. And of course, the nails. Whenever we see people who are missing the little round things on their nails, that can be a sign of the little half moons that they are thyroid hormone deficient as well. And then we see these lines across from left to right on their fingernails that are more brittle. You know, these are all your outward signs of potentially there's something going on with your thyroid. I know for me, I was going to a dermatologist, and she was somebody that was helping me and guiding me in the right direction, because I was losing hair and my skin was so dry and dull, and it was like I had to constantly exfoliate my skin. And so if you're going through any of these things, these are potential signs and symptoms and kind of your body's messages that something is not right.
And you talk a lot about the root causes behind Hashimoto's and why this is happening. And of course, I love that because I talk a lot about root causes too. So can you share some of those root causes that people should be aware of?
So if I were to categorize root causes, I would say you can put them in like six different categories, and they're going to be food sensitivities, nutrient depletions, intestinal permeability, an impaired stress response, toxins, as well as chronic low-grade infections that may be hidden somewhere in the body. And really the easiest place to start for most people is by starting to clean up their diet and by cleaning up their personal care routine, which is why I love your product so much. And this can help a person start to feel better in a pretty quick time if they do the right things, if they start getting these pieces, like removing the toxins from their life, which I consider, you know, any kind of chemicals as well as our foods. And then also allowing our body's natural detox process to start working better. This is what I usually recommend for people who have thyroid conditions and are struggling.
And how do you help with detoxification? How do you support that?
So when I first started working with people, after I got myself well, I was sort of using this approach where we were looking at all the different potential root causes, you know, going through the various foods it could be, the various infections it could be, toxins, the deficiencies. And I found that was kind of a very expensive and labor-intensive process, because we were doing all these kinds of tests and we were trying all these various, you know, elimination diets, and it was pretty intense. And sometimes people didn't see results for a while. And sometimes they got, you know, they felt defeated, you know, because they were trying things and they were getting better. And then I started seeing a subset of people who would have reactions to like every kind of supplement they took. So you'd give them, you know, like a B vitamin, and they'd say, oh, this made me break out, or I got a rash from this. And it would be things that were pretty benign and pretty like, that's not something that would really cause a reaction. And so then I started researching more, and I started figuring out that people who are sensitive to supplements are usually going to be sensitive to them because they have a congested liver. And so the liver helps us clear out toxins, and sort of anything we put into our body, it helps us process it. And sometimes that processing means it turns it on, or it helps it clear the body. And when a person has a congested liver, which is very, very common in people with Hashimoto's, they're not going to be processing things correctly. And so what I started doing is putting everybody on this liver support protocol, where we would go through and give them supportive nutrients and herbs. So N-acetylcysteine, milk thistle is a really great one, turmeric, methylation support. And there's this wonderful powder I like to use where, you know, you just put a scoop of it in a smoothie. And also doing foods like hot lemon water, doing things like cilantro and green smoothies. These are all things that can help move things along for people really nicely and help to clear out some of those toxins. In addition to cleaning up the food, cleaning up the personal care routine, and also helping to remove some of the everyday toxins. So like fluoride in our water supply, getting a filter to get rid of fluoride, going on a personal care like withdrawal or detox, or buying products like yours that are clean and that are not full of chemicals. And just really allowing yourself that time to get plenty of sleep, because that helps to clear out some of those toxins as well. And that's kind of it in a jiffy. I have obviously more information and details and recipes and all that in my book, but in a nutshell, like, that's something you can do. And about 65% of people through my testing and research feel better within 2 weeks. Like, even people that have been, you know, sick with multiple chemical sensitivities, like really complex people with Hashimoto's, they start feeling better right away.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because I think there's this misbelief that if you choose a more of a natural or integrative path, that it's going to take months or years to improve. And I noticed that too, with a really good protocol, 2 weeks, you start to notice a big difference. And it doesn't have to be a really long time before you start to see some light at the end of the tunnel and some hope that you're on the right path. And even if it's 2 weeks and you notice some improvement, but it's not 100%, which, you know, 100% is amazing, that's fantastic after 2 weeks. But sometimes it's, you know, you get 25% better in 2 weeks, but it gives you some hope of, oh, wait, this is really working. This is helping me. Maybe I can be even more strict about it, or more follow it more even closely, and you know, the diet and the different supplements and different things, and then really get better. So I love that you're talking about that. And so there are a lot of different components here that people want to look at, but I love that you're talking too about the detoxification component and things that you can do that support your body rather than just taking things out, because sometimes it just can be very overwhelming for people. So let's talk about some of these big root causes, like the food sensitivities. What would you say that, like, percentage of people that that's the big problem, or is that like the number one thing, or?
You know, that's such a huge thing. And I just got this article, my mom emailed it to me the other day, and I was so upset because it was a dietitian that wrote an article about how you don't need to be off of gluten unless you have celiac disease. And that she quoted some doctor who said that people were coming into his office gluten-free with a quote unquote bogus diagnosis like Hashimoto's. It tells people that that the gluten-free diet doesn't work when they have Hashimoto's, that it only helps if you have celiac disease. But that's like the furthest thing from the truth. So I've done surveys and studies of my clients and my readers, And there was one survey I did about the most helpful interventions. And this survey, we had 2,232 people answer it. 88% of them reported that they felt better gluten-free. About 80% felt better off of dairy. And then we saw soy, grains, seeds, nightshades, and eggs as other potential root cause trigger foods in the majority of people. So gluten was by far the highest, 88% of people. And, you know, get this, Trevor. So in this survey, I was asking people, you know, which of these things, these interventions help the most with the specific symptoms you were dealing with. And so going gluten-free was actually more helpful for people than in terms of fatigue. So getting back their energy levels, helping them lose weight and restoring their brain function and brain activity, it was more helpful than thyroid hormones. Like, I mean, and people say that it's not a real thing and that they don't need to worry about it. But yeah, that's a really significant thing. About 20% of people, for them, gluten will be their root cause. And that'll be the thing that once they get off of it, they can go into remission from Hashimoto's. And for others, they might have to dig deeper, but definitely that's going to be a starting point for you, is get off of the foods that are going to be inflammatory to you. And gluten's just such a big one for, you know, as my studies say, about 88%. So maybe there's one person where it's not an issue for, but I recommend going gluten-free for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the food intolerances are big. When we eat foods that we're intolerant to, that our body's reacting to, it increases our immune system, our immune response. So if you have an autoimmune condition, it makes sense that that would flare it up, that would completely make you feel worse. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that there are some doctors that believe that if you don't have celiac disease, that this whole idea that you have to go gluten-free is bogus. And there's so many people now that are going gluten-free and feeling better that we know it's true. And unfortunately, sometimes the research takes a little while to catch up to what we really know. But I'm sure it will come around and will be supported. What about other things? I mean, one of the things you mentioned were infections, and maybe people aren't aware of some of the infections and how those might trigger Hashimoto's.
So the way that an infection can trigger Hashimoto's is going to be through a few different potential mechanisms. One of them is the molecular mimicry pathway. Your immune system will try to attack the infection, and it'll at the same time start attacking the immune system. And it's a case of mistaken identity. The second way is through something known as the bystander effect. And this is when an infection lives usually inside of your thyroid glands or somewhere else within your body and other kinds of autoimmune conditions. And then the immune system starts to attack the infection and the home where the infection lives, which happens to be your organ. And so this is a case of when the immune system attacks the thyroid gland because there's an infection inside of it. A lot of times these could be viruses. And then the third way is when we have intestinal permeability anywhere within our gut, in our sinuses, in our mouth, abscess teeth, anything, any kind of tooth infections. This can cause intestinal permeability or leaky gut. And this is a known trigger for autoimmune thyroid disease and really for every type of autoimmune condition. The most common infections that I've seen in people with Hashimoto's are going to be Epstein-Barr virus, H. pylori, yeast, SIBO, and then a protozoan parasite, so you can't see this to the naked eye, known as Blastocystis hominis. And the interesting thing is about 80% of my clients who don't go into remission with diet will have at least one or more of these infections.
Yeah, I think that's so important to find those infections so that those can be addressed. And it does seem like a lot of people, a lot of my patients, at least my experience is that a lot of times with doing, you know, a 2-week program, like we were talking about, with doing some detoxification support, eliminating food allergens will help a lot of people. But then there are some people that don't get better with that. And those are usually people that have some sort of infection that's underlying there that needs to be addressed. Is that what you find as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And so the people that I work with are primarily people who don't get better with just the diet. And when you think about it, if you have an infection within your gut, no matter what kind of food you're eating, you're going to become sensitive to it. So that makes sense because you just keep building up new food sensitivities. And those are a trigger, of course. And so are nutrient deficiencies. And if you have an infection within your gut, you're not going to be absorbing your nutrients as well. And so, 80% of them that don't get better have some sort of an infection. And then we also see people have adrenal dysfunction. Low cortisol actually is what I see in about 95% of people who don't get better. And about 97% of them have this toxic backlog. And this is across the board. You know, it's wonderful. I think that we're spreading information and education about things people can do on their own, which is the nutrition. And I feel like the nutrition is fundamental. In my book, I also talk about the other three fundamentals, which are supporting your liver, supporting your adrenals, and supporting your gut. So these are things that everybody can do. And then there's the advanced things. So these are like the toxins and the infections and some of these, you know, rare root causes. And so my book, I have a second part of it called the advanced protocols, where we talk about some of these advanced things that you need to test for, like the infections. And then once you find the infection, what do you do, right? And so I provide information for people about what tests to get, what kinds of protocols they can do. And I always give them choices between if they wanted to go the conventional route, if they wanted to do herbs, if they wanted to do supportive nutrition. And we kind of go through, you know, what's the right thing for that particular person. Yeah. And that's sort of that. And if you can figure out your triggers and work on the fundamentals, you can start seeing improvements in your health really quickly.
That's fantastic. So if people feel like they need to do some testing, I mean, do you talk about those specific tests in the book and who they should work with? Because it's not, a lot of those tests aren't available. Just, you can't just, you know, go and pick that up at the drugstore. You know, these are pretty specialty tests that you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I recommend working with physicians trained in functional medicine, naturopathic physicians, functional nutritionists, and really any practitioners that have that deeper knowledge and that go after the root causes of thyroid disease. And, you know, if you go to your traditional doctor's office and you say, hey, test me for parasites, they're going to kind of look at you like you're crazy. And then they'll roll their eyes and they'll order a test that will likely come out negative because they're not going to be getting a comprehensive enough test. And there are tests like the BioHealth Lab 401H, the GI effects profile, the GI map that actually are like really good. And they use advanced technology to find these types of infections and the parasites and that. And you know, we always say there's no such thing as a false positive in this case, because you either have it or you don't have it, but there's a ton of false negatives potentially. And so if you don't get the right tests, you might be kind of sent off on a wild goose chase looking for other types of root causes. So just to save yourself like time, money, and your health, it's always best to, I would say, you know, if you have a chronic autoimmune condition like Hashimoto's or, you know, eczema, psoriasis, you want to go to the source and find somebody who's really trained in reversing this kind of condition for you.
Yeah. And one of the things you mentioned was SIBO. Can you explain a little bit about that and how people would know if they have SIBO?
Right. So small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So this is basically, we have bacteria, and sometimes they can be, you know, bacteria that would normally be beneficial within our bodies, but they overgrow in the small intestine, which is supposed to be relatively free of bacteria. And when they're there, what happens is that causes the gut to become leaky to try to clear out these bacteria. Some of the symptoms might be, the most obvious one is going to be irritable bowel syndrome. And for some people that might be diarrhea, some people that might be constipation, but not everybody has these symptoms. The other types of things they might see is they might see they're deficient in like B12 or ferritin or other kinds of nutrients, because instead of the food going to them, the bacteria in the small intestine is eating it up, right? So bloating, gassiness, those are the kind of symptoms to think about, sometimes acid reflux. And this is something that's actually present in 50% of people with hypothyroidism. This was done in a study a couple of years ago, and I've seen that to be just about right in my work with people as well, that about half of them are going to have this overgrowth of bacteria in their small intestine. And then it's about how do we support it? How do we get them to clear it out so then their gut is no longer leaky?
Yeah, and again, this is the kind of thing, if you go to a conventional doctor, most of them are going to not really know what to do if you say, you know, you want to be tested for SIBO, right?
I think there was, you know, and it's been a few years, but when I was looking into it a few years ago in Chicago, there was like one place in Chicago, one place in Los Angeles that did the tests. And it was like, wow, from a conventional medical standpoint, the beautiful thing is from a functional medicine standpoint, you can actually get doctors to order a test that's a little kit that's sent to your home. And it's actually a breath test. So you breathe into these tiny little tubes and that tells you if you're basically, they're testing the air to see if the bacteria are fermenting and giving off certain types of gases. And it's relatively inexpensive. I think it's maybe $100 to $150, which the big machines that they use at some of those centers are, you know, like probably hundreds of thousands of dollars for those types of machines.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's great that we can send those test kits right out to patients and have them be able to just do it. And it's easy. Some of these tests are certainly easy to do. It's just a matter of finding the practitioner in your area that can help you with that. Okay. Sure. Let's talk about supplements. Are there any particular supplements that you think help most people with Hashimoto's?
Definitely. One of them is going to be selenium. So selenium has been studied quite a bit in thyroid disease, and about 200 micrograms once a day for 3 months help people reduce their thyroid antibodies by about half. Now we know that thyroid antibodies indicate how aggressive your condition is and how progressive it is. So the lower you can get those antibodies, the less likely you're going to progress to other types of autoimmune conditions, and your symptoms will also be reduced in many cases. Not for everybody, but we see that people who get their antibodies down will start having less anxiety, they'll have better thyroid hormone conversion, so then they have like more energy, or their hair grows better, and then also palpitations seem to improve with selenium as well. So that's one easy thing that most people can do. One that not many people know about is thiamine. This is one of the B vitamins. And when I was in pharmacy school, I was told that the thiamine deficiency was rare unless somebody was like, you know, a raging alcoholic and had been an alcoholic for many years. And only at that point would you suspect thiamine deficiency. Lo and behold, thiamine deficiency, kind of like low grade one that won't come up on lab tests, is present in Crohn's, it's present in Hashimoto's, and it's present in other types of autoimmune disorders because they're all linked to the gut. So basically, we're not absorbing thiamine properly from our foods. A dose of 600 milligrams of thiamine can dramatically help a person's energy levels and their brain function within the course of 3 days. There have been a few studies that were done on this, and I've, you know, ended up writing a blog post about it after having success with it myself. I used to have a lot of adrenal issues that just weren't getting better. And I had constantly low blood pressure, blood sugar issues, as well as all kinds of fatigue. And as soon as I started taking thiamine, my blood pressure normalized. I no longer had these blood sugar things and my fatigue got better. And so I wrote a blog post about it, and I still get like random people that come up to me at conferences and give me hugs. They're like, you know, the thiamine changed my life. I think I published this post maybe 4 years ago. And one woman just recently sent me a message that she was on disability and she ended up starting thiamine and she's now back at work because it gave her life back. And it's 600 milligrams a day. It's a safe and inexpensive supplement that people can start taking and start feeling better as they start searching for some of those root causes. The other things that can really help are going to be vitamin D, potentially B12, but you want to test for those. And you know, some of the B vitamins and then the adrenal adaptogens are part of what I recommend as well.
Great, great. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that about the thyroid antibodies. Going back, when you were talking about selenium, you talked about thyroid antibodies improving, because I've heard also from conventional doctors that once you see that a patient's thyroid antibodies are high, there's no reason to run them again. And I've actually fought with insurance companies before because they won't cover patients. I mean, maybe they will now, but I've had instances where they wouldn't cover patients having the thyroid antibody test repeated because they felt it wasn't indicated. Because once they're high, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that you do test those thyroid antibodies again, right? And watch those and hopefully see them drop, right?
Yeah, you can actually test your interventions to see how well your diet is working, how well, if you've actually eradicated the infection that you're looking to eradicate by monitoring your thyroid antibodies. And, you know, when we're really aggressive with working with a client and getting their antibodies down, I'm measuring them actually once every month to see the full impact of an intervention. It might take 3 months to a year in some cases. With H. pylori eradication, in some cases, people go into complete remission from Hashimoto's. But there was a couple of studies that were done where people had antibodies in the 2,000 range, 5,000 range, like crazy high numbers. And then they followed them after they treated their H. pylori infection, you know, month after month. And these antibodies kept declining until eventually some of them got into remission. It's very, very important to monitor. It's not the only thing you should be looking at. You should also be looking at how you're feeling and doing a comprehensive blood panel. But those antibodies can be an important clue into, you know, what's happening with how is your immune system recognizing your thyroid right now? Is it still looking at your thyroid as the enemy, or has it kind of backed off a little bit, right?
Absolutely. Great. Thank you for pointing that out. I think that's fantastic for people to know. And then also, before we go away from supplements, you know, one of the concerns of the Hashimoto's is leaky gut or malabsorption issues. So if someone has that and they're taking supplements, are they actually going to be absorbing the supplements they're taking?
That's a really good question I get. And people will say like, oh, shouldn't I get all of my nutrition from foods? Shouldn't I, you know, like why take supplements and whatnot? And supplements can actually help. In the case of a person when they have leaky gut, and they can help to get more nutrition into the body compared to a person who is just, you know, eating a healthy diet. So I absolutely think they can be very, very helpful. There's various theories about, you know, like mega doses of supplements that they can actually bypass the cell walls and go through and do what they're supposed to do rather than, you know, the small doses that are in foods that may not get properly absorbed. So I found it to be a very, very helpful intervention to, for example, supplement with selenium instead of doing things like Brazil nuts. So I've had clients who were on Brazil nuts, right? And we'd monitor their antibodies and we didn't see a big difference. And then I'd have them different set on selenium and then monitor their antibodies. And sure enough, we saw a difference. And then I put the ones on Brazil nuts on selenium supplement and we actually saw that their antibodies decline. So there are things like that. I think selenium is one of the more important ones. Vitamin D, unless you're like a lifeguard in Southern California working 40 hours a week on a beautiful beach, there's a chance you're going to be deficient. And getting it through supplement form is the most efficient and effective way. You'd have to drink a lot of cod liver oil to get enough from your food.
Yeah, I used to practice in Santa Barbara, California, and I was amazed at how many people that are out in the sun all the time were still deficient in vitamin D. So even crazy. Surfers that are out in the sun can still be deficient in vitamin D. So it's crazy to see that. But we process vitamin D differently. So I think it's still good to get those levels tested. So you mentioned, you touched a little bit on the potential for Hashimoto's going into remission. How common is that? Because that's certainly not something that's talked about very much.
So going back, I mean, as far as the literature goes, I can tell you my experience with it, but with and a little bit of research behind it, there's not a ton of research behind it. There was one study that was done with people who had been on thyroid hormones long term, and about 20 of them had a spontaneous return of thyroid function within a certain, you know, 10, 20 year time period. So that was just one tiny little study on this, and that's pretty much it. You know, there really haven't been studies done on the rates of remission other than with celiac disease, where 20% of people who had celiac and Hashimoto's, once they got off of gluten, were able to get into remission from Hashimoto's. What I've seen with my clients is, you know, getting into remission is, I would say it's sort of a step on the journey. So one, the first step is obviously to get the person feeling better and getting rid of all of their symptoms, which is something that we can do for most people with our current interventions and the current things we have. The second step is going to be reducing the thyroid antibodies. And that's going to be a measure of like trying to identify and resolve those triggers. And that can be a process that takes anywhere from 3 months to 2 years. And then the third step is going to be getting those antibodies under 100 and then under 35. I have seen people who have gotten them to zero. I have seen plenty of people who have gotten them under 100 and under 35. Statistically speaking, I would say with the interventions that we have now, we can probably get anywhere from 60 to 80% of people, just in my experience and my estimates, into remission from Hashimoto's.
Yeah. Okay, great. And then what about thyroid tissue regenerating after it's been damaged? Is that a possibility?
You know, when I first started researching and when I first started looking into remission and recovery from thyroid disease, that wasn't really any information on that. There were a few case studies here and there. And so one really exciting thing is that we now have the technology to help along with it. So back in the day, it was like, for some people it happened, for some people it didn't. And it was like, for some people you eliminate the triggers and then they can get off of their thyroid medications. H. pylori is the common trigger that I've seen. When we eliminate that, then we can actually get the person off of thyroid medications, but not everybody with H. pylori, right? And so the thyroid tissue kind of does things on its own time, right? And one of the things we can do now is use low-level laser therapy to help regenerate thyroid tissue. There is a study done, now three studies done in Brazil, with using cold laser therapy or low-level laser therapy for 10 sessions over the thyroid gland. Half of the people in the study were able to come off of their thyroid medications entirely. The other half showed a reduction in the need for thyroid hormones. So, you know, I think at a time that we are now, you know, you could say there's no cure for Hashimoto's, but if we can get the person into remission, if we could get rid of all their symptoms, and if we can regenerate thyroid tissue and return that, like I could say we have maybe a functional cure. We have something, right, that's really, really exciting that hasn't been there before. And I think it's a really exciting, this sounds strange, but it's an exciting time to be a thyroid patient and as well as somebody that specializes in thyroid, because we can really give people their lives back. And we can, you know, it's never been my goal to be anti-medications, but hey, if we can help somebody get off of their thyroid hormones, then why not? You know, now we have the possibilities that are out there.
That's fantastic. I so appreciate the work that you're doing. And I feel confident that if anybody can figure out a cure for Hashimoto's, you're going to be involved in that. So tell us more about your book, your new book, because you've got so much information and we're only able to touch on a little bit today, but you've got a ton more in your new book that's coming out.
Yeah, so my new book is called Hashimoto's Protocol, and it's divided into two sections. The first section goes over the fundamental protocols, so things that everybody should do when they have a thyroid condition, and regardless of what their root cause is, the fundamental protocols are going to help them feel better. So we're going to start seeing some of that fatigue drop off. We're going to start seeing some of that blood sugar issues start going away. We're going to start seeing people with losing some weight, getting rid of their headaches, chemical sensitivities. We're going to see skin issues start clearing up. And that's going to be 2 weeks of supporting the liver. So my targeted liver support, where we go through removing things that don't serve us, adding foods and supplements that help us along, and then cleaning up our space, right? So the homes that we live in and our personal care routine. 2 weeks. Then we have 4 weeks of supporting the adrenals, where we're going through and we're removing some of those stressors that may be affecting the adrenals. So we're getting more sleep. We're doing targeted supplements for the adrenals. We're doing a targeted nutrition plan for the adrenals. And then the fourth step is a 6 week protocol that looks after what do we need to do to address our gut health. And so we're looking at increasing digestive enzymes. We're using all different types of enzymes to help get rid of the backlog of food sensitivity antibodies so that we start tolerating our foods better. And we're using nutrients and foods that help to rebuild the gut lining. And as people do this, we'll see a significant amount of people. The reason I know this is I've done this in a group program for the last 2 years with over 1,500 people now have gone through that program. And I used to do outcomes research in my past life. And so I'm a little bit nerdy and meticulous about like, okay, what outcomes are people getting? And so 65% of people can actually feel better within the first 2 weeks of that liver support protocol. And by the time we get through the rest of the protocols, we're looking at 85 to 90% of people feeling significantly better. And then for the, 10, 20% of the advanced cases, I also have the advanced protocols that are the second half of the book, where I go through a series of assessments, and then we help people identify what might be some of the triggers that they have. And these could be things like infections or toxins that are within their bodies. And then I give them a list of protocols that they can work on with their doctors or on their own, or, maybe sometimes educate their doctors on how to do. And my big hope is that this book will change how thyroid conditions are treated and give people an actionable protocol that they can jump right into and just jump in, both feet and start feeling better right away, because who's got time to be sick, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll have the link up for your book up on the site under the show notes so that people can go and get that. Also, you have a docuseries too that you've worked really hard on.
I do. It's called The Thyroid Secret, and Dr. Trevor Cates is one of our featured experts. We have 100 experts and over 50 patients who've been able to recover their health, and we share the latest and greatest strategies about how to overcome thyroid disease. And I kind of wanted to do it in an entertaining format that was like, not everybody likes to read books, or not everybody, some people just want to sit and watch TV. So we've put it together in a way that gives you all the information you need over 9 episodes, so that you're having fun and, enjoying a cup of tea and watching a way back to your health. And hopefully, hopefully people will be entertained and interested, and throughout the process, they'll actually get helpful information on how to recover their health. And we talk more about low-level laser therapy in the series, and we cover a lot of different things that could be potential triggers and how people can recover their health. And my favorite part is the patient stories. So we have patients who were told that they were never going to get better, and they're living, breathing, walking, success stories. So it's been a big passion project of mine, and I'm so grateful that you were a part of it.
Thank you, Isabel. I know you've worked so hard on that, and you've done such a great job putting all of that together. And I'm very excited that we were able to share that with everybody. So fantastic. And so we'll have all of that information, the links on all of that in the show notes under the podcast. But is there anything else you want to share with anybody? Any last parting words, or any other additional information you want to share?
Definitely. And I think one of the things that people, especially women, struggle with, and Hashimoto's it affects men and children, but it's primarily a woman's condition. For every man that's affected, we have 5 to 8 women. And one of the big things I see is that women, as women, we generally don't feel safe, right? Because there's so many different things happening within our lives, whether that is unsupportive partners, or, simply we're not taught to take care of ourselves first. We're taught to take care of everybody else, that we see this chronic occurrence of thyroid disease. And I always want to tell women that I speak with to really think about what you can do to recover your health, and being kind to yourself, being compassionate to yourself, and treat yourself like you would a loved one, a good friend, even a pet if you have one, with that same kind of love and compassion, because a lot of us can be very hard on ourselves and have these super high expectations on ourselves. And that really doesn't help when you're struggling with something. You need to show yourself the love and compassion that you deserve, and that will help you get better. This is what I've seen with my success stories. The women that really get better are the ones that take the time to invest in themselves and really care for themselves like they would for others, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Isabella, for all your hard work and for the information you provided us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate the work that you're doing in the world.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Isabella Wentz. To learn more about Dr. Wentz, her new book, or the docu-series, you can go to my website, thespadoctor.com. That's Dr. abbreviated DR. Go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. While you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community. You can subscribe to my newsletter, take the skin quiz. You'll also see my new book there. And I encourage you to share this podcast with others. If you know anyone that is struggling with their health, that may have some of the symptoms, the signs that we've talked about today, or you know has a thyroid condition, this would be great to share with them. Help spread the love. And speaking of spreading the love, join me on social media, on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation there. Thank you, and I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor Podcast.